Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hushmo Black Forum. Here we do it bigger, we do it better, we do it longer, and out of necessity, we'll do it louder than anyone out here. So relax. Here's your host, Hushmo Black.
Good evening. Good evening, y'all. Welcome. Welcome to the Hushmo Black Forum. You've got your host. I'm the host, Hushmo. Driving this train, y'all, tonight, June 11th, coming to you live and in, living color too, y'all. We all there. Coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia, here on a Saturday, 7 o'clock. 88 degrees, real scorcher here today. I kind of got up to some degree today. Got out there on the golf course, though. We got out there early. Got that thing in, y'all. Before that sun, trying to outrun that sun. That these last couple of days here in the city has been rough. Welcome again, y'all, in Cyberland. Just another great show we have in store for you this evening, y'all. We just getting back into the swing of things, and we've been on vacation here, taking some R&R for a while. Came back last week and informed you all out in Cyberland that we would be coming to you just for 2 hours during the summer months. We cut back an hour. We had some other obligations after 9 o'clock on Saturdays up until September. So we'll just be out here for 2 hours, but I think that will. We've kind of reworked our formatting and to get the subject matter in. So just welcome again to you all out on my Facebook friends, Twitter friends. Welcome. We are all over here. You know, we are our motto, to do it bigger, better, longer, sometime louder. That's what we do. We advocate, y'all. We this is a talk destination too, y'all. We don't do music. We don't do relationships, or we don't do grooming or none of that stuff. Although something did come across the Hushmo's attention there. Star Jones and NeNe Leakes, their little argument. I don't know why it's news. Really, some of the strangest things seem to get us excited these days. That came, for some reason, it's dragging on. It happened 2 or 3 weeks ago or whenever, about them having some kind of outward spewed on some junk that Donald Trump got on TV, Apprentice, whatever it is. Well, I won't call it junk. It would be, I don't know. Is it even worth talking about, y'all? Peanut Gallery said, well, I got an opinion. Hey, the Hushmo got an opinion on it now. I'm just, I don't want to, the Hushmo Black Forum don't normally get into shock, Jerry Stringer, shock jock or whatever. We don't want to get into a shock blog out here, y'all. So, I heard Star. I did hear Star Jones' opinion. It was running around out there on the internet. Somebody posted it, and I listened to her side of the story. She, I somewhat concur with what she was saying. And that you look at Jerry Springer and some of the our people that's out there on those shows, putting forth this I don't know if it's, I hate to even use the term ghetto mentality or ghetto anything, but putting forth a picture of, is that really us, you know, or is that a microcosm of our community? It get blown way out of proportion on shows like Jerry Springer, Springer and the likes. To a certain extent, if Donald Trump is going to go in that vein, so I fully appreciate what Star Jones was talking about or trying to get across, and that she think as a black female, there's a better way to put forward her image to television land, the audience there, and I concur. That's all. We won't get too much involved in that. Just thought we'd throw it out there because, some of the stuff I see on TV, even on some of the judges' shows there, Judge Jones, whoever, some of the participants on those shows is really, is that really us? I mean, is that, or just a microcosm of our community? Captain Hushmo Black here, y'all, just rambling on the Hushmo Black Forum here. Our show tonight, we're going to start taking a look at a new book by Jimmy C. Cameron, his new book. Oh, yeah, y'all, we're going to start looking at that. White Racism, Black Hate, An American Reality is the title of it. And we're going to start breaking it down. It's due for release this fall. We're going to try to get it out in September. We got interrupted again out there on Blog Talk Radio. We're coming to you on Blog Talk Radio, y'all. We just had a hiccup here. This thing, I don't know if it's the heat or what. These hot summer days kind of act up sometime on the power grid. But we're back out here. Got the Hushmo Black Forum, y'all. I am the Hushmo. Driving this train tonight. Y'all out there on Blog Talk, try to get to my webpage, hushmoblack.com. There I've got a Blog Talk radio button that you can stream the show from, or come to my a show page on Blog Talk Radio / hushmo-black. You can get us there. Either one, check us out. You don't have to stay out here 2 hours with us. Just remember at hushmoblack.com, we've got all our previous shows archived. Before we got interrupted here, I was getting into our subject matter tonight. It is a new book coming up by Jimmy C. Cameron, titled White Racism, Black Hate, An American Reality. We look at racism and hate, and it was a fascinating topic to research. We started the book about two and a half years ago, because we worked off and on it, and still, you know, tightening it up. We got it finished, got it into the editor's hand, and getting it cleaned up for the publisher. Just a fascinating subject, y'all. We're going to get into that tonight, and because it's so much in the news, I think it's relevant. We have to keep it out there in the forefront in today's climate. So this book is timely. We think it's very timely, and hopefully we'll be able to get it out there before the holiday season come up this year, y'all. Thanksgiving to Christmas, we want to hang out there, and in order for you all to digest it, to Fletcherize on it, if you will. We're going to take a short break here, y'all. You got the Hushmo conducting the train here on the Hushmo Black Forum. We'll be back. Just hold tight. We're going to take a short pause for the calls, y'all. We'll be back with you shortly.
Advocating on your behalf, you're listening to the Hushmo Black Forum. Tell your friends about us. Saturdays, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. right here in cyberspace.
Hey, welcome back. That's Steve Stretcher. That's our
that's our theme song, yo. Yeah, Free Yourself. We fell in love with that song some years ago off the CD. Old Places, Old Faces came out some years ago. Joe Sample, y'all. Welcome to the Hushmo Black Forum, Merrill. We coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia here. Normally, we kind of altered our summer show a little bit. We normally get in first off covering current events, y'all, and then we get into a subject matter for the evening. Like I said, this evening is going to be the book, the new book by Jimmy C. Cameron, White Racism, Black Hate, and American Reality. It's a history with documents, essays, and analysis of the subject matter that we, in writing that book, we researched back some, I don't know, just the importation of African slaves began here in this country some 400 years ago, 1642, somewhere around that time. We trace it back to then. We're going to be getting into that as we go on tonight. Current events, y'all. Still got quite a few things going on here, no doubt. With NBA playoffs, y'all, the Hushmo here, y'all. We had the Heat. We got the Heat in seven, y'all. That thing's looking bad right now. But it's 3-2 Dallas right now. But I think it's going seven, y'all. The next game is tomorrow. We'll see. He's got a King James, and the boys got to step it up a notch. I think they can do that because I think they're a little better team. You know? We're going to be watching that thing. The Hushmo's got it. Yeah, we got a dog in the spay, y'all. No, we didn't do that. We ain't got no rent money bet on it. No, but the Belmont's running today, y'all. We done missed that thing. I think it went off at 6:30. The Belmont. We always like that Triple Crown thing, the race and I don't know. I think the Kentucky Derby went off as the favorite in that. And another thing, we cover sports here, y'all. This is our sports segment. We're gonna give you the rundown on that. Venus and Serena Williams, y'all, back. Tournament in England. Tuning up for Wimbledon coming up next week, y'all. The 20th of June, it starts Wimbledon. They have dominated that thing for the last 10 years. I think they won something like 9 out of 11, out of the last 11 years. So, yeah, they pretty much dominate that thing. So they're back. Good to see them back. What else going on? Well, the Rays I won four in a row from ATL, y'all. So we got hometown. Can't wait till the football gets started, y'all. If they're gonna have some football, I don't know. They're striking. Somebody making millions of dollars. I don't know what's the problem, y'all. Yeah, I don't know. That's I think they'll get it sold though, y'all, before it's over. See what's going on over there in the Middle East, y'all. That thing is still crazy. Gaddafi is right on the verge of collapse, they say, but then he's still there, so yeah, we don't know. He's hanging on in there. Hopefully that thing resolved pretty soon, because that's a messy thing even for the president. Yeah, well, everything's messing for the president with the Congress we got up there. Everything is a mess, but I think he'll get through it. Hopefully that thing will be resolved pretty soon, y'all. Got the Hushmo Black here, y'all. Looking at the, we following this thing, this Republican presidential primaries, y'all. Newt Gingrich, looked like he's imploded. Went on a honeymoon or Hushmo. Went on somewhere to renew his vows. Hushmo, they went on a cruise. So him and his wife took a 2-week cruise somewhere in the Mediterranean, y'all. Came back and his whole staff has quit. Sonny Badu and everybody else went running away from him like roaches running from the light. We don't know what happened. He said he's going to start all over tomorrow. Newt says he's going to put up another committee together Sunday, y'all. And relaunch his campaign, y'all. I don't know. Hey, That thing is getting crazy, y'all. I don't know if that, Michelle Bachman, did she announce she's running, or she's right on the cusp of announcing, or the guy out in Perry, the guy out in Texas, he's talking about it. And Julie Rudiana, Rudy, y'all, slow down, Hushmo. Hey, where's that? What's the let? Rudy Giuliani, New York mayor, ex-New York mayor. He's talking about getting back in, too, y'all. He done ran 9 times. I mean, it just seems like he's talking about getting back in, y'all. They don't believe what they got is good enough. The 10 they got in already. They still trying to twist this governor who ain't did nothing up there in New Jersey. Because he talked tough, looked like a mobster. They try to twist his arm to get in. For some reason, they don't think what's the guy's name? That's the Mormon. Mitch Romney. They don't think he's the front runner, y'all. But they don't think half the Christian evangelicals is going to vote for him. They talk about is Mormonism a religion? Somebody said it was a cult. I don't know. Hey, y'all, Hushmo doesn't say that. We talk about what somebody said. You Google it, y'all. If you don't believe it, don't put it on the Hushmo. We ain't said nothing. The conservative right, y'all, they don't believe that they got a strong enough conservative candidate in the pack. So they every day they trying to find somebody. The conservative folks, Miss Michelle Bachman and Sarah Palin, they on a national level, I don't know what they, either one of those two could win. But I don't know. We that thing's getting interesting, y'all. They got a debate coming up here in New Hampshire Monday. Heard Neil Bork the other day talking about flying up, and they're going to have a great time. Yeah, that thing has got the potential. It's got the potential for the making of a great circus. That feel. Let's see. Who's going to be up there? Herman Cain. We got Herman Cain, Tim Pawlenty, Mitch Romney. We got Newt Gingrich. Did Donald Trump get back in? Hey, somebody. Did Donald Trump get back in? I don't know if Donald Trump got back in or not, y'all. I seen him on TV the other day ripping Paul Ryan's health, that thing Paul Ryan ran through Congress, ripping it to no end. can Donald possibly be added to that debate Monday? Can this thing got the makings of a Barnum and Bailey three-wearing circus, y'all look like. We'll be sure to tape it because next week we're going to want to come in on it. Yeah, we're going to tape it, y'all. We're going to, because remember what we do out here. We decipher things for the grassroots, y'all. Oh, yeah, stuff is. So we're gonna look at that. We're gonna be, like I said, we're gonna follow this thing all the way to December 2nd, 2012, y'all. November 2nd of 2012, whenever the election is, we're gonna follow this thing every step of the way. So we will be recording the debate and see what kind of we want to see what kind of agenda the Republicans have going forward, y'all. That's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in any the politics of this or that. I'm interested in one thing only: how, if you were running for president, how are you and your party going to move the country forward, and how does that or is that going to affect me personally, and my family, and my community? How is it going to affect the country as a whole? I mean, yeah, that's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in anything about what the current administration is doing or what this president is doing. I want to know what you're going to do. I want to know what you're going to do. Oh, yeah, we ain't going to be talking about President Obama. We're going to be talking about what you're going to do. This guy done did a great job as far as I'm concerned. Oh, yeah. That's me now, y'all. But so we ain't going to be listening too much anything but what you're going to do for the country and for me. So we're going to be following it. It's got the makings, y'all, of a real hot summer. You're talking about a hot summer, not just the temperature, not just 90 to 100 degrees, although it's going to be that too, look like. But this political season, y'all, is going to be really interesting. Got about 27 minutes coming up after the hour, y'all, in the ATL. You got me, the Hushmo, here just rambling on, y'all. We all over the place looking at some things here. We were looking at, I listened to the conservative talk radio shows, y'all. I think I told y'all that couple of 3 months ago, I was talking about where I got my inspiration to do a talk radio, blog talk radio, and it was from some years ago from the conservative folks out there on talk radio, Rush Limbaugh, Neil Boyce, Sean Hannity. Those guys was really my inspiration. Oh yeah. But anyway, I was listening to Neil Boyce the other day, because I've been listening to Neil for some 20, 25 years. Y'all, how long he been on radio? I mean, when he was way back in the day, y'all. But he's making tons of money now at it. Yeah, I can put up with him. I mean, I don't agree with a lot of the things he says. I mean, but he's a I was listening to him the other day. He was talking about the Supreme Court cases and all that stuff, and got callers calling in about the various Supreme Court cases and how they've affected the country. And he named some crazy case up in Connecticut dealing with property. Nilo versus the state of Connecticut, or something such a nonsense as that. I mean, it's been thousands of Supreme Court cases all over the 200 years of this country. I was thinking, I almost called in, but that's a waste of my time. But just looking at some of the cases, I mean, even putting aside, obviously, we're going to go with Brown versus Board of Education as one of the watershed cases in our history here in this country as an American of African descent. But one of the most egregious cases dealing with my people, Americans of African descent, y'all, has to be this Dred Scott versus Sanford thing that went down in 1857, y'all. Oh yeah, Dred Scott, y'all. that thing's so crazy. It boggles the imagination, y'all. Dred Scott, y'all, check it out. Check out Dred Scott, y'all. That was part of the one of the things that led up to that Civil War, y'all, in 1861. Yeah, Dred Scott. The Republican Party ran on that decision, and sure enough, Lincoln got in office there. And, yeah, Dred Scott had to do with Dred Scott suing the government, y'all, and As it turned out, the Supreme Court refused to hear his case there in 1857. Yet, in the process of doing that, they somehow took away the citizenship of thousands of freed African Americans at that time, yeah, in 1857. Dred Scott did. Yeah, they contend that Africans could not be citizens, whether they was free or not, at that time. So just imagine all of the free blacks all of a sudden became non-citizens, no matter if they had voted for 15 or 20. This is 1857, y'all. 1857 leading up to Dred Scott. Yeah, the Supreme Court, somebody described him as a capricious court. Yeah, capricious. That would be way too kind for that a group of scoundrels masquerading as a Supreme Court, y'all. Oh yeah, that would be they kind of went out way on a tangent there, y'all, over Dred Scott, a really who was really insignificant, y'all, in this whole thing. He himself, the result of the Supreme Court's inaction on the one hand, because, yeah, remember, they didn't allow him access to the court, to the federal court, but yet, at the same time, took away the citizenship of thousands of freed Americans. Oh, yeah, y'all. That thing lit red. So if anybody want to know, out there, the grassroots, y'all, if anybody want to know what Supreme Court cases, some of the most egregious cases as it pertains to Americans of African descent, y'all start with Dred Scott. That thing was crazy. But yeah, it's been tons more, y'all. We followed them through the years, y'all. Wow. But we got that one right up there, y'all. We ain't just rambling on here. You got the Hushmore Black Forum, y'all. Yeah, our motto out here is to do it bigger, to do it better, to do it longer. And if necessary, we'll do it louder. We don't want to do that, but sometimes to keep pace, we have to. And don't mind doing it. But just so out of character for us. We just rambling on. We're going to take another short break for the another short pause for the calls here, y'all. We got about 34 minutes after the hour, y'all. You got the Hushmo Black Forum here. I'm the Hushmo, y'all. We'll be right back. Y'all hang in there.
Advocating on your behalf, you're listening to the Hushmo Black Forum. Tell your friends about us. Saturdays, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. right here in cyberspace. Thank you.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back, y'all.
Hey, welcome back, Cyberspace. We back at you. Got the Hush Mode Black here, y'all. We coming to you live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, is where we operate out of. Coming to you every Saturday over the summer from 7 to 9, y'all, out here on Blog Talk Radio. We do got a call-in number. If anybody want to jump in, just holler at us. You're more than welcome to do so, y'all. That number is 1-310-742-1899, y'all. That's 310-742-1899. We don't mind. Y'all call us. We'll get you on when we can get you in here. Get the Hushmo Black Forum, y'all. We are advocates for social justice, y'all. That's what we do. We advocate for justice. Oh, yeah. That's what we do out here. We're not a music destination or a relationship destination out here on Blog Talk, y'all. You can find those venues out here. You can find just about anything out here on Blog Talk. Some great venues out here too. I find myself out here tuning in to the various programs quite often, and thoroughly enjoy them. You know, I listen to a variety of stuff out here on Blog Talk. It's a great medium for just small production, small people from their house, like me. I run this thing from my own little home studio here, y'all. We ain't Fifth Avenue. Oh, no. We something, but we ain't Fifth Avenue, y'all. Not yet. We try to get there. But anyway, Blog Talk, yeah, it's a really great way to get your message out. Anybody, we do it like we're author, y'all. We write, and it's just a great way to get your product and your message out there. We thoroughly enjoy it. Plus, we think we got something to say. Yeah, well, don't everybody? Oh, yeah, we think we got something to say, y'all. So we enjoy what we do out here, y'all. We look forward to Saturday night coming around and interacting with you all. We were talking about Talk Radio before we left there, talking about where we got our inspiration from, talking about got inspired by listening to a blog, just talk radio, conservative talk radio mainly some 15, 20 years ago, starting out, I mean, I don't know, 80, whenever Rush Limbaugh and all of that gang surfaced, we kind of checked them out and got inspired by it, found it to be a powerful medium for getting your message out there. And here we are today out here on Blog Talk. I was talking about Neil Boyce, talking about Supreme Court cases and all that. You notice the right, another thing they always throw up at you, trying to do this reverse a bit about always accusing folks of accusing them of being racist. Everything. Oh, yeah. There they go using the racist card. Everything the right does in their mind, they're being accused of being a racist. And I don't know who's accusing them of that. They never quite say. I don't know if they're contending that the liberal left, whatever that is. Like I said, we don't belong to no group out here, y'all. Oh no, not us. But us, we ain't liberal, conservative, minority, none of that stuff. No. But I don't know who whenever you hear them say it, well, yeah, the first thing out of their mouth, we are racist. I don't know. From my perspective now, oh, yeah, because the Hushmo, being an American of African descent, y'all, I view racism the same way the Jews view Nazism in Germany. It's no different, y'all. Oh, no. And in a way, racism, y'all, is much. If I weigh those two, y'all, as racism over 400 years has done a lot more damage than Nazism did to the Jews, y'all. Oh, absolutely. In my mind, what my people experience, we view racism. So when we look at racism as Americans of African descent, me myself personally, and I think, well, in my family, I believe if you poll 90% of the Americans of African descent, they probably would hold a similar view that racism itself is no doubt the most devastating negative force that we've encountered in the 400 years that we've lived in this country. Oh, yeah, racism. It is the most devastating force, negative force that's ever, that we've experienced here as a people in this country over the last 400 years. Is racism. Oh, yeah. When we started our research on the book, White Racism, Black Hate, and American Reality, we traced racism, yeah, y'all, way back to the 1600s, y'all. Found that it's a phenomenon that really metastasized. I like that word, metastasized. Sized here in this country. Oh, no doubt. Oh, yeah. It came together right here in this country, y'all. Believe it or not, I'm sure. That book, we pointed out in the book. Let's first examine the word racism itself. Pull it up on your computer. Racism. See what come up. It's a noun, y'all. Yeah, it's a noun, all right. It's got three definitions for it here. Just quickly, let's see what they say here. A belief or doctrine that inherent differences among the various human races determine cultural or individual achievements, usually involving the idea that one's own race is superior and has the right to rule others. Okay, that's it. That's the first definition of it, y'all. That's what it says here. Some kind of superiority complex. By the reading, the first definition that pops up here says a belief or doctrine that inherent differences among the various human races determine cultural or individual achievement, usually involving the idea that one's own race is superior and has the right to rule others, y'all. So that's number one. It says something about the races, y'all. Somebody's feeling superior, or their race is superior to somebody else's, okay? Number two. Hey, look at this. Number two. A definition of racism, y'all. Right from the dictionary, y'all. Number two. A policy or system of government based upon or fostering such a doctrine. Whoa, listen at that, y'all. Hey, let's go back over this. Number two, a policy or system of government based upon or fostering such doctrine. So let's stop right there, y'all, because that's heavy right there, because that first definition up there was talking about a belief that somebody is superior to another race of people. But this thing here, number two, it could also be a system of government. Oh. Wow. That's kind of heavy, y'all. A system of government. So we looked at that. We looked at the definition. We kind of looked at that. So, wow, that's heavy right there, because as we looked at all the different governments around the world, y'all, we looked at quite a few of them. That thing first, that definition of racism, we first found it showing up here, y'all, listen at this, in the Constitution of the United States in 1787, y'all. Racism as a system of government, we first found, showed up in the world, anywhere in the world, y'all, that we found, it first showed up in the United States Constitution in 1787, y'all. Oh, yeah. By how? In that 3/5 clause, y'all. Oh, yeah, that 3/5 clause that suggested that some humans could be sold as property, yeah? That suggested that somehow they was less than human, making them that. So it shows up here, that system of government we found, y'all, in all seriousness, showed up here in this Constitution the first time in the history of any governments or any document that we could find, y'all. Maybe somebody else could find one where it's written down prior to that. I mean, yeah. I suppose after that, you could throw in South Africa or Australia, places like that. We had some apartheid, a government system. Those things came after, y'all, the system of government that we had here that allowed slavery in this country, y'all, which was a system of government, a racism was the system of government, y'all, under that Constitution. Oh, absolutely, until the Civil War came along and eradicated it. Absolutely. Check it out, y'all. So racism, okay, that was the third. That was just the second definition of it. Three of them here, y'all. The third one says hatred or intolerance of another race or other races. Okay? Yeah, that's getting back to a personal thing there, y'all. I'm more concerned just looking at our history here, y'all, and how it plays into a reparation here in my mind, and how we tie it together is more to do with that second definition of racism, racism as a system of government, y'all. We found that to be the case because when we ask for a reparation, we're not seeking reparation from John Doe KKK racists or any of the citizens out here in the country. We're looking at the government of this country, who had laws, separate equal laws on the books, y'all, that inferred that somehow one group of the society was inferior to another group in the society, y'all, and kept one group down economically until today, and it's that racism that we are seeking a reparation for. Brown kind of corrected it. Yeah, Brown did. Brown versus Board of Education, y'all, should have corrected it. Should have. But racism itself is as much a slippier and slimier than that. It's a slippery, slimy force, y'all. Oh yeah, even though the laws, I mean, yeah, I mean history right now, you could look back. By the way, we also trace, okay, just looking at racism, y'all, blah, blah, blah. This country purportedly is formed under some Christian moral authority, y'all. That's what they say. So, well, yeah, we was formed by the man himself. God had a hand in it. I ain't doubting it. Being a God-fearing child of an all-loving God, so I know for a fact that, yeah, anything that happened, God had a hand in it. But the first authority, moral authority now for the enslavement of the Africans came from, guess what, y'all? The Pope, the Catholic Church, y'all. Pope Nicholas V. Yes, it says here 1452 by Pope Nicholas V issued some papal bull, y'all. Yeah, that says it ushered in the West African slave trade, y'all. Authorizing Afonso V, the king over there in Portugal, to go down there and capture some Africans, y'all. Gave him the moral authority capture them and consign them to indefinite slavery. Oh, yeah, the Pope did that, y'all. Pope Nicholas V, y'all, 1452. So right there, you could make an argument that racism right there, y'all, that thing right there, as far as I can see, was an act of racism. Oh, yeah, right there. We can start it there, y'all, but then it went on, and the Pope kept reissuing that thing, and sure enough, by by the time Columbus got here and they started importing slaves here, this concept of a consignment of exclusive spheres of influence to certain nation states was extended to the Americas in 1493 by Pope Alexander VI with this Inter Catera, another papal bull, y'all, that that extended slavery. Now, here's the Pope saying, I don't know, here's a Pope somewhere thousands of miles away. Not only are they controlling people, they're controlling the land that they don't own. And if you want to make an argument, you can make an argument that slavery really was instituted here in the Americas by the moral authority of the Catholic Church, y'all. Wow, that's every Pope Alexander VI, 1493. Google it, y'all. We the Hushmo Black, y'all, we're just trying to share some information on it. So we're talking about racism, y'all. That, in my mind, is the first form of it. It just so happens when the English got here and, they had broke away from that Catholic Church by then, y'all, you know, and that Reformation and all that stuff taking place. And yet still, they still, even the new Protestants, they still kept that slavery thing in place, y'all. So, yeah, it went from the Catholic Church initially, but then, Protestant, oh, yeah, they enslaved us, too. So that thing has got a crazy beginning, y'all. Yeah, and so the first form of government, y'all, we're getting back here, we found that was indeed while the Pope gave the orders, it was improved and perfected here in the United States of America over the next 200 years, y'all. Yeah, it was improved and perfected as a government, as a system of government here, y'all. Yeah, it was a system of government. Anytime you enslave folks and have them characterized, that's less than human. you're talking about racism as a system of government, and that's what happened here, y'all. That's why, that's why we view racism much like that's why I view racism just like the Jews view Nazism in the Nazi Germany, y'all. Yeah, the government. First time we found it, system of government. Remember, the Constitution of the United States, 1787, y'all, first time we came in vogue here as a system of government, racism right here. What happens now, believe it or not, in our research, we found that the great social scientist of Germany, Karl Marx, y'all. Well, Karl Marx, back in the early 1800s, y'all, was a great thinker over there at the University of Berlin. He, Karl Marx, you know, yeah, the same one where you get Marxism and communism and Nazism, that guy. That guy used, believe it or not, to research it, y'all. He used this country, this new, the new colonies as a test tube for a lot of his research and opinion forming, if you will. This country, and how he looked at how the various races, well, not races, the various ethnic groups would intermingle. You know, we had a lot of different Europeans, the Anglo-Saxons, the Irish, the Italians, the German, all mixed in together for the first time in a way that didn't exist anywhere else. And in that mix, you throw a whole nother foreign race of people, the Africans, and that made for a unique situation in man's history. And sure enough, Karl Marx studied that. That dynamic and drew up Nazism, Marxism, fascism, all of it originated. All of the things that you attribute to Karl Marx, he did a lot of his research by following and studying the fallout or the interactions of this new country over here, y'all, of America. And so, yeah, racism has is the basis for Marxism, communism. Oh, yeah, no doubt, y'all. Hey, it's what I found. Y'all can look at this thing yourself and see what you think. That's just the Hushmo Black's research, and when we were doing our book research, that's what that's the conclusion we came up with. Following that thing, y'all, we not the only one that came with that conclusion either, y'all. It's been a lot of history. Our book go back, y'all, and like I said, we traced racism. We think it began here in this country in full. At the very least, we improved and perfected it here, y'all. Hey, that's what they did. They perfected it and exported it, y'all. Oh yeah, we did. We exported it worldwide. Yeah, racism, we did. We exported it from this, from these shores, y'all. Believe it or not. I mean, one of the things we had to do, we had to look at, in our research, we had to look at slavery in its inception into the country, and just the attitudes. We looked at the attitudes of the day and how it came about. How did it exist? And just looking at who was for it, who was against it, and just how that whole thing played out, y'all. Because we found it hard. It's hard for me to come to grips with how, as a nation who contend to be Christians or some kind of religious nation, could justify some of the things that went on. I find it mind-boggling today just looking at it, but yet I understand that it happened and how and what went on. I mean, but yeah, there was a lot of folks against it. A lot of religious people, denominations, the Mennonites, for instance. Oh yeah, the Mennonites up there in Pennsylvania. They were dead set against slavery, y'all, and was outspoken advocates against it as early as 1688. 100 years before the Constitution, the Mennonites, they were speaking out against it and was wondering why, how in the world could anybody call themselves Christians and at the same time be dealing in the trafficking of human bodies, as they put it. But as these arguments played out, you know, Thomas Jefferson and Washington, all them boys, they got together and what won out was like everything else in this country. What won out in the end was the dollar. Oh yeah, how much money? How much wealth? Could be and was being generated by the enslavements of the Africans, and they found a way to justify it morally. Oh yeah, hey, it's a problem. It's a moral problem today. I mean, yeah, because anytime money is involved, it seems that all morality kind of have a way of slipping out the door. They find a way to justify the end or the means to that end. With slavery, yeah, it's justified because God said that you bringing some kind of heathens to the body of God. Those folks are heathens, y'all. God don't mind you doing that. They put them in chains for 200 or 300 years. That should be enough, y'all. And see if you can convert them over. Don't mind if you breed them. We don't take the culture away. We don't care about that. That's all right. Long as you, at the end of the day, have some some Christians there, y'all. Do you have to treat them like yourself when you convert them? Well, we don't want to do that. No. You asked too much now. We'll slave them and convert them into Christians, y'all. But I mean, now you want us to treat them as meat? You want them to come on? Please, that's going too far. Yeah, y'all. Just an interesting subject, y'all. We're rambling on, y'all. You got the Hushmo Black here. rambling on as we do, y'all. Talking about racism and hate, y'all. Tell about a new book, White Racism, Black Hate, and American Reality, y'all. We are looking at those two those two forces. By the way, we consider both of them moral sins, y'all. Oh yeah, because we haven't even talked about hate. Oh, that's a lot of hate going on out there too, y'all. Black hate. I mean, it might be a byproduct of racism, y'all. A lot of it is. Some of it is not. Most of it is. Oh, absolutely. Black folks. Can they be racist? By and large, black folks cannot be racist or are not racist. Now, yeah, over the years, 200 years in this country, y'all, yeah, you got some folks think they are. Hey. Part of that miseducation of the Negro that Carla G. Whistler was talking about, y'all. But by and large, in a serious on a serious note, y'all, we can hate. We think we can hate. I thought I could, but I've given it up, y'all. I love everybody. I thought I hated the people at one time, but you can't. There's no way you can hate if you just think about it. But we nevertheless, my book and my research led me to conclude that about 20% of white folks are racist, and sure enough, about 20% of black folks hate white people because of the racism. Yeah, it's a give and take thing. It's like quantum physics, y'all, almost. I mean, one causes the other. Hey, ain't no way. We can't can't get around it, y'all. We think both of them are moral sins, y'all. That we if you're talking about getting back to the man, you gotta eradicate both of them from your psyche, y'all. I assure you that, which is part of the problem with the country today. I believe the more that's what I believe now, y'all. It's just me. I don't know. I said it's what I believe. The part of the country. Problem in the country is a moral problem having to do with racism and hate, y'all. When you get right down to it, it's as simple as that. If racism, like I said, is such a profound negative force, had such a profound and having still have such a profound negative impact on my community today, that it's mind-boggling, y'all. You don't think a people, we've been around here some 400 years in this country, how, I mean, hard-working people, too, by the way, some of the hardest-working people this country has ever had, ever seen, y'all. This is Americans of African descent, y'all. I'm proud of that. We have a work history, y'all. Oh, yeah. let me tell you. But how it could be possible a wealth gap could exist to the magnitude that it does today in 2011. And it's for one reason. For one reason only, y'all. You can skin this thing 99 ways to Sunday, y'all. It's going to come back to the same thing, racism. Period, by the government, for the most part, yeah, that the racism in the society prop it up, absolutely. But that one thing has caused us, the African American community, to be in the position that they're in today financially, at the bottom of the totem pole, y'all. Yeah, by a racist government who allowed laws to be used, allowed the government laws of the federal government, y'all, and state governments to deprive us of equal access, y'all. our 14th Amendment rights, y'all, was taken away. Oh, yeah, all kinds of ways, too, y'all. Not all kinds of ways. The second section, y'all. They abridged our rights to vote. Oh, yeah. That's all. that's all part of the 14th Amendment, y'all. The second section, go read it. Yeah. Hey, but they prevented us from going to the polls, y'all, for all them years with the with that crazy stuff going on, y'all. That's an abridgment of my right to vote, y'all. And yeah, see, the scheme was they stopped us from voting and then used our numbers on the census to to stick congressmen up there in Congress, y'all. Huh? Today, they somehow don't want us to talk about racism. But how can we not? How can we not talk about it? I wish I could. I wish I didn't have to. If I didn't have to talk about it, hey, Lord knows, we would be here talking about it. Y'all, we would be here talking about it. Because we go back, we're just looking at some of the crazy things that's happened to us because of racism, y'all. Because it's mind-boggling. That's all I can say. It's just mind-boggling. Looking at it out of history, it's not even an argument whether or not really the facts are there in black and white. So the argument is so powerful that it's almost it's, you know, what they did to us. If they had just did one thing, y'all, just the Southern Homestead Act, y'all, 1866, set aside 46 million acres of property in Alabama, Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Florida, y'all. The Southern Homestead Act. If they had set aside mainly to give Americans of African descent access to land, y'all, because remember when they emancipated us, they turned loose between 4 and 5 million Americans of African descent, y'all. 99% of them penniless and illiterate. Penniless and illiterate. Valueless, by the way, because they stripped the value off of them. They couldn't do anything by themselves. They were poor. So they had to depend right back on the former masters that they slaved for. And that they, imagine how that went over. Oh, yeah, let's look at the history, y'all. Yeah, let's look at the history, y'all. Huh? Okay, come 1865, we emancipated, y'all. We running around in my family, running around here in Georgia, broke. Penniless, y'all. Ain't got no land. Can't get access to a land. Can't even move out of Troop County down there. We can't even move from county to county from without a. Oh, you gotta have a slip to go. You want to go to Atlanta? You crazy boy? What you talking about? You better get back on that farm. We got some plowing for you to do. So yeah. So just that whole thing. If they had a if the country had so fit and garnered the courage to do the right thing by compensating those 4.5 million African Americans reparation there in the form of land, in the form of a certain amount of capital, y'all. Back then in 1865, y'all, oh yeah, we wouldn't be talking about this today. That wealth gap by no way would be the same. Oh, they would have lost the property. Hey, we give us the 46 million acres and do the right thing by protecting our 14th Amendment rights, y'all. Over the years, we wouldn't be where we are today. Hey, now, would it have made some white people mad? Absolutely. It made some white people mad already. Anyway, regardless of what happened, it made a lot of them mad. A lot of the former Confederates that had fought in the war came back, started hanging black folks all over the place, y'all. 150-year documented history, hung black folks all over the South, yeah, all over the country. So yeah, it made white folks mad either way, no matter what. Because remember, you got 20% of the population, you know, that race, regardless. They ain't gonna, no matter what go down, that's going to be the case. So this thing is crazy, y'all. So we can't stop talking about it, y'all. We're not going to stop talking about it because every day you the race talking about it, they throwing it up there and every little thing. Now that we got a black president, y'all, and the president, that guy in my mind, he's not black or white. That's an office. It's a position. When you say the president of the United States, that's a position, y'all. I don't view it as a person with color or anything like that. It shouldn't be, but yet the country here, y'all. Remember, we were formed as the Constitution, y'all. A system of racism as a system of government. The Constitution itself, y'all. That's not what I said. That's the definition. Look at the definition of racism, y'all. Google, pull it up. I mean, it's not what I'm supposed to say. I don't, I'm just going by what. We're going to keep talking about it. We got to. And in our book here, we just point out where it started at. We think it's a phenomenon that started here in 1400s when they introduced the Africans into the society, wrote the Constitution requiring some three-fifths clause to be in there, kind of set up the first government that could be designated as a system of racism. It's just the way it is. I mean, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment corrected a lot of that, y'all. In theory, it's just that they never, it was never carried out. Now, poor Lincoln, I got the Time Magazine. Poor Abraham Lincoln. I believe that he had the right mindset to put in place some regress for the newly freed slaves, because he had all these meetings with Frederick Douglass and the abolitionists and the like, seeking their opinion on just what it would take to integrate some 4 million slaves into the society. What would it take? And they, sure enough, they told him that you got to give them lands, a certain amount of capital, and first of all, you got to educate them. You got to educate these people, because heretofore it's been illegal just to teach them to read. Oh yeah, it's illegal, y'all. You go to jail trying to teach a slave how to read. Shoot, what? Yeah. That's probably, you don't teach no horse how to read, do you? Hey, y'all. You listen to Huntsville Black Forum, y'all. It's about 23 minutes after 8, y'all, in ATL. Just a beautiful Saturday afternoon, y'all. Somebody's on the line out there, y'all. We can't get to them, but just hold on, y'all. We'll get you on a break. We'll get out there and see if we can shout at y'all. Hang in there. We got a break coming up in about a minute or two, and we'll chat with you. You got a Huntsville Black here, y'all. We're kind of rambling on tonight, talking about my new book, White Racism, Black Hate, and American Reality, y'all. Coming out in the fall, this thing is heavy, y'all. We it's so heavy. We still dealing with the definition of racism, y'all. It's a fascinating subject matter, though, y'all. Oh yeah, and that in my opinion, it's our number one enemy. Oh yeah, it's our number one enemy is racism in this country, y'all. Hey, no doubt, it's did more damage to me and my family and my people than any other single force that we've encountered in the 400-some years that we've been here in this country. So we're dealing with that thing, y'all. And like I said, we going to be talking about it here for the next probably throughout this probably throughout this next presidential race, y'all, because it's not going to go away. I thought that it would die down, but it's not going to go away because of that 20% of folks that has got it ingrained in their psyche. We contend here too, by the way. Racism. Oh yeah, can be passed on, y'all, genetically. I first blurted that out to somebody some years ago, a few years ago. That's what, and sure enough, y'all, the University of Texas, y'all, did a study. Some years ago. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it showed up on in Newsweek magazine, the September issue of 2009, Newsweek September issue, where they concluded that racism, a child as young as 6 months old, could be racist. A child 6 months old, they got a picture of a baby on that magazine. Oh, is your child racist? Here's a 6 month old baby on the cover. And I don't know, y'all. Can it be passed on genetically? It may be something to it. Is it just a matter of the environment in which the child finds himself in? Of what? I don't exactly know, but yeah, can be taught at a very early age. It's very contagious. We know that, and affects just about every part of our society here, y'all. And we need to discuss it. Everybody want to talk about it, but they all seem to be talking over the group of people who's been negatively affected by it the most. It's interesting here. Last week I was telling you about the new book that I just got into, Slavery by Another Name by Douglas Blackman. A white guy wrote it, and just amazing the acclaim that he got for won a Pulitzer Prize and the like. Great work. And I heard a white commentator interview him the other day and said, wow, this is heavy stuff here. Why in the world? This is a white commentator, female interviewing Douglas Blackman, the white author of the book Slavery by Another Name. She was asking him, why in the world has this not been brought out before? And is this a call for a reparation? Why in the world nobody's ever mentioned this before? I thought to myself, lady, for some reason, when we say something, when black folks say something, try to come out and tell what's going on in their community, in their lives, the injustices that they're suffering. For some reason, nobody seemed to ever be listening, especially the powers that be. But yet, this guy, Douglas Blackman, he come along and write about it, and everybody pay attention. Oh, this white guy saying this. Wow. Well, what about the black folks that lived and was lynched and was hung and went to jail and sold and blah, blah, blah. It has to do with other folks, racism. It was, we didn't have access back in the, we didn't have access to the press, y'all, to tell our story. Oh, sure, we had the crisis. the NAACP, the WB Du Bois is a monthly newsletter, the crisis. We had that, but we didn't have access to tell our story. Wasn't nobody listening anyway back then. So yeah, we've been talking about it, living about it, crying about it, out there marching in the street, dying about it for 200 years, y'all. And nobody's seemed to be ever listening. But we're gonna keep pushing it out there. We're gonna keep pushing it out there because I think it's of monumental importance that we do from a grassroots level. You know, I'm a big stickler for getting the grassroots, the 90% of our grassroots community out there voicing their opinions. Sure, we got the talented 10th out there every day advocating on our behalf. Al Sharpton, Cornell West, Tavis Nye, Jesse J. We got our talented 10th out there every day working their hearts out on our behalf. They need help. They need support. They need us to prop them up and to get out there and express our views. And that's what we do. That's what we want to. We want to be a part of that. And I think here on Blog Talk Radio is a great avenue for the grassroots folks getting out there too, y'all. Got the Hushmo Black Forum here, y'all. We're rambling on. I ran through a break, y'all, because when we get to going, we just ramble on. But you got the Hushmo Black here, y'all. We're going to take a quick break. We got somebody out there on the line. We're going to try to get talk to them offline here for a minute and see if they want to come on, y'all. But y'all just hang in there. We'll be right back after we take this quick this quick break here, y'all. We'll be right back. Got the Hushmo here driving the train, y'all. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Advocating on your behalf, you're listening to the Hushmo Black Forum. Tell your friends about us. Saturdays, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. right here in cyberspace.
Hey, y'all. We back. We got the Hustle Black. We back. Got somebody on the line here. We're going to bring Mr. Pianchi. Hello, sir. We're trying to get Mr. Pianchi on, y'all. Mr. Pianchi, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, Hushmo. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. We got Mr. Pianchi. He's from the Midwest, y'all, coming to us from Missouri here tonight. He's been listening in on our show tonight and is interested in our conversation here on racism and hate. He's got an opinion. We thought we'd bring him on air. We want to get everybody's opinion on it. And
yeah.
What's your take on it, Mr.
I want to ask you. I want to ask you. And what's your? And I hear that you said you was in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I are probably the same age, but I refuse to go.
I'm 66. I'm 66 years old, Mr. Pianchi.
You're a little older than I am, but
okay.
I didn't see you would have. You was over there very, very early.
In 65, I went over there in September of 1965.
Yeah, I was still in school.
Okay.
But they had rides on the Kitty Hawk, the Enterprise.
Absolutely.
And a couple other ships
mm-hmm.
during that period of time. But mm-hmm. I was going to ask you the question, Hushman. What's your definition for racism?
What's my definition of racism? Okay, I'll tell you what it is, exactly what it is, okay? In fact, I brought it up when I first brought the show on here, just looking at what Webster said about racism, okay?
My
definition.
We can't go by Webster now.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we can if it's my opinion, right? Oh, sure we can. You asked me a question now. Yes, we can. Because I asked you
Hushmo's definition. I didn't ask you Webster's definition. Go ahead.
Okay, because they're going to be one and the same, because even my opinion and Webster's concur in that racism is a form of, superiority complex. It's a complex dealing with someone feeling superior to someone else, or one race of people feeling superior to another race of people, or another race of people is inferior to them. That's what racism is when it comes to individuals. Okay, when it comes to individuals, Mr. Pianchi, that's what it is to me. Now, that's what it is on a personal level. But I contend that it is also a system of government. Racism is a system of government first enacted in 1787 with the writing of the United States Constitution. As simple as that. That's what what's your definition of it?
Well, that ain't what racism was. In your conversation.
Okay, hold on.
Let me go ahead and finish.
Okay, what's your definition?
And see, racism, the word racism, and racism isn't black people's problem today. Racism has evolved into becoming a social issue, whereas racism always was a economic issue. And you mentioned it in your discussions earlier when you said that blacks did not have access. They did not have access into those things that they would need in order to enrich themselves and increase their wealth.
Why didn't they have access? Well, just tell me that. Why?
That's because, and the reason why they didn't have access is because whites do not want you to be able to compete with them on the economic level.
Is that not a form of racism?
Well, that's what racism was defined as. It has nothing to do with I like you, I hate you, or some stuff like that.
because
in my community, well, let me finish. In my community,
you're saying the same thing here now. Because just look at
the definition. I know. Well, let me finish so that the listeners can hear. Because in the 60s, we was in segregated communities. We had our own little stores on the corner. We had our own music. We had our food. We had our dance. We had our clothing style. And the only time I remember experiencing racism when some older boys in the community walked over to Missouri Pacific to put in an application for a job. Mm-hmm. And while they was putting in, they were older than I was, but I said, well, I want to put in an application too. And the white man looked at me, and he asked me, he said, have you ever bumped your leg against a chair or edge? And I said, yes. He said, have you ever bumped your elbow? I said, yes. And he said, well, that would have left a calcium deposit in that area, and that would disqualify you for this type of work. Now, that was racism. It wasn't about me wanting to date his daughter or live next door to him. That was plain, flat-out racism because he was keeping me from having opportunity to get a better job, whereas I could bring wealth home in order to better my family and so on and so on and so on.
Absolutely.
Now, our problem today, Hushmo, is uh-huh. what's called white supremacy. And it has nothing to do with white people. Well, wait, uh-huh. I'm just give me another couple seconds. It has nothing to do with how they feel. It has to do with the reality that they control all your consumptive habits. And therefore, they do not want you to compete against them. Look at your schools. Whites will never provide the resources to black districts, whereas those children can't compete against their children.
Yeah, Mr. Piante, I concur with everything you say 100%, and I think I think it's just a matter of semantics. Our difference
yeah.
is because we're talking about the same thing.
We're talking about the same thing.
That separate but equal thing. That separate but equal thing that the Brown overturned boy did us in to no end from when they put it in and,
right.
After it was emancipated. That denied us access. That was 14th. Hey, you know what now? Brown versus Board of Education, I'm sure you've heard of that monumental case there, had had very little to do with school integration. Brown versus Board of Education.
But it devastated us, though.
But listen, it had very little to do with school integration. You know what it was about?
Go ahead.
Restoring our 14th Amendment protections. Yeah, our 14th Amendment protections have been violated for some 90 years after the Civil War. Okay? That's what Brown was about. That's what it was about.
You know, Republicans gave us civil rights back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
And it was Democrats that vetoed than any other party.
Yeah, listen, and when I was born in 1945 in Georgia, guess what? All my family was Republicans. And guess what? All of the white folks in Georgia was Democrats then, and now all of them are Republicans. So it's been a whole switch of things. That's a whole other story, too. And you can follow And you can follow that in my book. Mr. Piante, we're right up against the break, though. We're going to have to cut you off and let you go, but I do.
I wanted to make a couple more comments. And I wish I had an opportunity to talk to you before you wrote your book. I probably could have gave you some suggestions.
Listen. Just send. Go to hushmoblack.com. Go there and email me anything you got, and I'll look at it see if we can.
One other thing too, Hushmo. You know, black people. A lot of the problems that black people experience today has to fall upon their shoulders, especially their leadership and those who had a position of directing them in the right direction because they know better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, our talent of 10th is how I refer to our leaders, our talent of 10th. That 90% of us. It's a lot of 10%. I said the top 10%.
Have you ever heard? You have black people coming out against Cornel West and Travis Smiley for being critical of Barack Obama?
Yeah, it's a whole crazy thing there. But if you read the book, The Miseducation of the Negro, written by Carter G. Woodson in 1933, you kind of get an idea of why.
Now you in Georgia, right?
Yes, sir.
You in Georgia, right?
Yes, sir.
Now I'm gonna tell you something.
Sir.
Where you at and down in the South is the likely place where blacks could turn things around and but they would have to control, you know, that many blacks in a concentrated area. They blacks should control what blacks consume.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
mean,
those,
absolutely. We all agree there.
No small suburban areas, the good jobs like firefighters and so on and so on, you should be present on those jobs and nobody from outside of them. And then another thing, blacks is going to have enterprises between this country and the continent of Africa.
Absolutely.
Not going to get it all here.
I agree, Mr. Bianchi. We ran up against the break there. I appreciate you so much, sir. Send me some
all
email.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Send me some email.
Okay, then.
We got Mr. Bianchi there. We done went right through the break, y'all. We're going to have to cut it off here, y'all. We're going to get out of here for this evening, too, y'all. We'll try to finish this thing up next week, y'all. Got the Hushmo here, y'all. We signing off here, too, a few minutes early. We got to get out of here, but it's been a pleasure. Mr. Bianchi from Missouri, y'all. Send us an email. We'll take a look at what you got. And just been my pleasure, y'all. We'll come back and holler at y'all next week, y'all. Got the Hushmo Black here. We signing off here.
The Hushmo Black Phone, advocated on your behalf by covering news and events affecting the African-American community. Check us out at the Hushmo Black Phone, www.blogtalkradio.com.